Miles Hoffman says when it comes to classical music, there's no substitute for a live performance. Hoffman is Morning Edition's music commentator. He's the founder of the American Chamber Players. The group performs in Birmingham Thursday night. Hoffman spoke with WBHM's Michael Crowell about the future of classical music. He begins by describing the Fantasy Piano Quartet by Frank Bridge.
Frank Bridge was an English composer. He was a very good string player. He's a violist, I believe. He's most famous as the teacher of Benjamin Britten. He was very influenced by, as you can imagine, by World War I, and his music got much spikier and sort of nastier after World War I. Before World War I, which is when this piece was written, his music is, it almost sounds French to me. It's this sumptuous, very romantic style, and the Fantasy Quartet is gorgeous. It's a beautiful piece, very rich, very splashy and virtuosic for all the instruments. So it always makes quite an effect when we open a program with it, because most audiences haven't heard the piece.
Does it bother you when people refer to classical music as soothing?
People know that when they're talking about a piece like, for example, Beethoven's Fifth, which has a violent opening and which is, or who knows, any other Beethoven symphony you can find where there's all sorts of very powerful, violent music, people know that that's not soothing. But I think what people often mean by the word soothing is music that satisfies expectations. We don't mind when music is spiky, is violent, is harsh, is disturbing in all sorts of ways, as long as it makes sense. And I think soothing becomes a kind of a very, very rough synonym for making sense. People will listen to all sorts of different kinds of music in all sorts of different languages and styles. So yes, it's true that some people just like to have music on in the background and not really listening, and it's soothing in that sense. But I think most people, when they're being serious about it, if they use the word soothing, they just mean that we have a sense of where we are in music rather than that we're just listening to a collection of random sounds. Random sounds are rarely soothing and rarely make sense.
One of the largest resources for classical music is YouTube, and I'm wondering if you think that's helped or hurt classical music.
Well, YouTube is fantastic. I love YouTube, and the fact that you can find anything and everybody on YouTube, that you can find recordings of all the greatest artists who've ever lived and who've ever recorded anything, is fabulous. It's just amazing. The job of modern classical musicians, those of us who are working and playing today, is to make sure that we demonstrate to people why it's still important to get out of the house and come to classical concerts. Because as wonderful as YouTube is, YouTube is not a substitute for live performance. The only danger of YouTube is that some people, I suppose, might use it as a substitute for live performance. What's lost is the necessity to go to a live performance to hear great music. But that necessity has been gone, in a sense, since records were invented, you know, since the long-playing record was invented. So it remains the case that there's nothing like a live performance.